Well, howdy everyone. It's good to be with you and to communicate together again what it means to live a life in union with Christ, to live this way of life that Jesus lives. Again, the people in the church, the people who were Christians in the book of Acts, were referred to as people of the way. And only one time in, I think, the book of Acts were they referred to as Christians. Paul always talked about Christians in the terms of they were people who were in Christ. And they were people of the way, and this way of life that Jesus lives is what we're called to. And it's not just that there's a way of life that Jesus lives that we're trying to imitate. Scripture says he is the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. He is the one who lives that way of life because we've been joined to him in union with him. We can't live that way of life in our own strength by our own righteousness. We've been joined to his righteousness, to his unbrokenness and his innocence. And from his innocence and his unbrokenness, we now can live that way of life by him that he lives and that we see laid out in the scriptures. So this is a place from Colossians chapter 3. It says, and whatever you do, verse 17, in word or deed, so whatever you say or whatever you do, act, do all, not some, but all, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's an amazing statement. To do something in the name of Jesus doesn't mean that you're trying your best to do something that honors him. To do something in his name means more than just to represent him. It's to represent him. For him to represent himself through you. It's to live from him, not just live for him. You can only live for him from him, if that makes sense. And so to do something in his name is to do things from him, is to do things identified as someone in union with Christ, who's one with Jesus. Think about this in terms of when you were placed into Christ, which is what makes you a Christian, the scripture says about you and about your identity that you've become the righteousness of God in Christ. Because you're in Christ, you now have his gift of righteousness. Our righteousness, the scripture says, because of our fallenness, is like a filthy rag. But that person who lived out of their own brokenness and lack of innocence, their own brokenness and devastation and self-centeredness and anger, bitterness, resentment, you know, all the kind of stuff that comes with living in a world of fallenness where you've been betrayed, your trust has been betrayed, you've been abandoned, you've been rejected, you've been disappointed in people. That person who lives from that no longer an innocence, but soiled person, soiled by your fallenness and the fallenness of others, and that person who therefore lives out of brokenness was crucified. And you've now been joined to Christ and his righteousness. You've now been joined to his unbrokenness and his innocence. Because Jesus doesn't live offended. Jesus doesn't live angry, bitter, resentful. Jesus doesn't live with all kind of regrets. You know, Jesus doesn't live with cynicism. Jesus doesn't live with a cynical mindset. Jesus doesn't walk around with hurt. Jesus doesn't walk around with offended with people, living with an offense all the time. That's not who he is. There's an innocence about him. And you and I have been grafted into that innocence. That's now our nature is his nature. His nature is our nature. And so we now live from that innocence and that unbrokenness. So we do all things in the name of Christ, which means George MacDonald used a term called a revelation of resemblance. And that means a lot of things, but for me, it means that you live with a consciousness that you're one with Jesus, that you're one with the righteousness of Jesus, you're one with his innocence and unbrokenness, and that you recognize that. There's a revelation of that in you. Like example we've used, if somebody does something to hurt you, instead of you being hurt with them, now you have a revelation of the resemblance of Christ. You're one with him. You're the branch. He's the vine. The life that flows through the vine is flowing into the branch. And that's just happening. and therefore you're one with his innocence, his unbrokenness. And so you now see that person not from a place that's been soiled, that you know, strikes back, that identifies with people hurting you, rejecting you, abandoning you, all that kind of stuff. You're now coming from a place of innocence and unbrokenness, where sin doesn't reign. So instead of being, you recognize it about yourself, there's a revelation of your resemblance with Christ, your resemblance of Christ, because you're one. And from that place, from Christ now, in his name, you're not hurt with them, you're hurt for them. You're not offended with them, you're offended for them. Their actions just cause you to love them more. That's Jesus. That was Jesus, the life that Jesus lived. We see played out in Scripture. It was Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's that same Jesus who now we've been grafted into, his innocence and his unbrokenness. So let me give you an example. The same guy who wrote this, the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote 1 Corinthians 13 that described the love of Christ, the love of God. He says this. He's writing to the Corinthians. And as you know, the Corinthians had been a very poorly behaved group. There was a lot of division. There was immorality. There was drunkenness, all kinds of stuff going on in the church. And Paul had been appealing to them to come to a place of repentance, owning their identity in Christ, living from who they are as new creations in Jesus. But and they eventually do. And so Paul's now writing this letter, 2 Corinthians, to them, in response to the fact that now they have surrendered to the Christ who lives in them and repented. They've changed the way they think. They now think with Jesus. They think from the mind of Christ. So he's writing them, and he just writes this in verse 4 of chapter 2. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be made sorrowful. Let me just stop there. There's a letter that it's a lost letter that we don't have a record of. Most historians refer to it as the stinging letter of Paul. He wrote 1 Corinthians to them, but he sent by Titus a letter and referred to as the stinging letter. And that letter was a rebuke, strong, strong rebuke, an appeal. And the result of that is they actually repented. And Titus brings back information to Paul that this church, that were his spiritual children, they had truly repented and truly yielded. And so Paul is talking about that when he wrote that letter to them that was so stinging, he said, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be made sorrowful. That wasn't his goal, was to make them sorrowful. But he says this, I wrote that to you, not that you be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have abundantly, especially for you. The word there, especially if you have the New American Standard, or abundantly, is like an extraordinary quality and quantity. It's an excessive amount, more than you would expect. That's what the word means. So what Paul is saying is that their circumstances, their behavior, and him having to address that and confront them caused him to have a broken heart. He said, with much affliction, with anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, but I didn't write it to you that you'd be made sorrowful, but to know you, for you to know that I loved you even more. So see, sometimes we do have to correct. Sometimes we do have to confront. But when we do, we do it because we love them too much to not speak the truth. And if you don't speak the truth in love, then it's not Christ. See, it's not just about what you do. It's how you do it. It's who you do it from. But the bottom line is as bad as their behavior was, because Paul did no longer walked around with a soiled nature. He now has the nature of Christ. And so there isn't this whole bitterness, history of bitterness, opening up a new wound, fresh wound, kind of stuff that Paul lived with. He was living from the righteousness of Jesus, the unbrokenness and the innocence of Jesus. And so even though their actions, Paul confronted them, Paul addressed them, but his attitude towards them was never anything other than Christ-like. As a matter of fact, he said, I wanted you to understand that I love you even more. Their brokenness didn't cause Paul to love them less. Their brokenness didn't cause Paul to be offended with them, hurt with them, bitter towards them, resentful towards them. He was doing everything. He said, do whatever you do, word or deed, do in the name of Jesus. And it was from that place, from his oneness with Christ, from his union with Christ, in the name of Jesus, from a revelation of resemblance that he's one with Jesus. And on the inside, he's now identifying with the innocence and the unbrokenness of Jesus. And from that place, he's now loving the ones who are behaving so poorly, who are rejecting him. You have to understand that was going on too. He didn't reject them back. He just loved them more. That's righteousness. That's righteousness. See, we get angry sometimes at people because they don't, quote, walk around in righteousness, don't seem to manifest righteousness. So we think it's righteous to resent them or to be mean or to be ugly or to speak the truth in anger, yada, yada, yada. But it's righteousness to love them even more. Not that, now again, Paul confronted them, but his disposition was one of innocence, innocent of resentment, innocent of anger, innocent of self-protection, innocent of offense. He just loved them more because he had a revelation of the resemblance of Jesus that was going on inside of him, that he and Christ were one, and therefore he shared the same attitude, disposition, emotions, and mindset of Jesus. So he did everything in word or deed in the name of Christ, representing Jesus. Okay? Well, I trust that's a word that blesses you, encourages you, expands your understanding of this way of life we're called to live. It's gloriously free, supernaturally wonderful. And I pray that the rest of the day you enjoy the wonders of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in you and manifesting his unbrokenness and innocence through you the rest of this day. God bless you.